Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The show is about to begin.
Welcome to the podcast, Conscience That Made Us. Interviews and stories, tales from the bus. We love taking you back to when it all went down. The greatest live shows and that cheering crowd sound. It's Concerts, Concerts That Made Us, ConcertsThatMadeUs.com.
Hey, this is Malachi Gagnon, and you're listening to Concerts That Made Us.
Bet you're thinking that I come crawling back and I'm sinking in the deep end. But that ain't where I'm at. Girl, I'm so gone. I got up and moved on. Found hope at the end of the hurt. Thought I'd stay down forever, but that wasn't how it worked. No thanks to you, I'm better than our first day. Turns out I had to learn it, think it through, about living in a dark place. It won't let you heal a heartbreak. Picked up the pieces one at a time. Now I'm doing just fine. No thanks to you. No thanks. No thanks. No thanks to you. This tragedy into my own little paradise. No thanks to you, I'm better than our first day. Turns out I had to learn it, think it through, about living in a dark place. It won't let you heal a heartbreak. Picked up the pieces one at a time. Now I'm doing just fine. No thanks to you.
Malachi Gagnon, you're very welcome to Concerts That Made Us.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's fantastic to have you now. I'm looking forward to diving into your music over the next bit. Now, first off, you're one hell of a songwriter. How do you approach creating music that can hold its own against, you know, established musicians twice your age?
Yeah, I love, that's probably my favorite thing to do, is just write as much as possible. I've been doing it for quite a while now, but I just pull from, you know, stories that I make up in my head. I'm not delusional, but I do. It's similar to like writing a movie or a book. You know, you create these characters and you act out as them, right? And so I write this story based off of characters that I write, you know?
Right. Makes sense. Do you feel kind of safer doing it that way instead of kind of putting yourself into the songs and putting personal experiences?
Yeah, for sure. I do write from my own experiences a lot, though. A few of my songs have been written through my own perspective, but a lot of them are just, you know, outside perspectives, I guess, like stories that I make up and stuff. But I'm really, really happy with this one of my upcoming songs that I'm releasing. It's called Reason to Live. And I wrote it about my friend who passed away a few years ago. He took his own life. And I wanted to write a song that spoke to other people who felt like how he did. And so I've been writing this song basically for 2 years since it happened, right? And I finally was able to find the words and I put it out on social media. And the response to it was phenomenal. People were saying, like, you know, it helped them find closure with people who have felt that way before. And if they feel that way, that, you know, they hear the words and they speak it to themselves, because it says, you know, I love you too much to watch you fall. And, you know, you're a soul worth saving and someone who's loved. And so people speak those words to themselves, and all the comments, all the response to it was just like, you know, put this out so I can have it. And so I decided to record it. And I just finished it last night, actually.
Oh man. That's so powerful, though. That must be, you know, that makes all the hard work, all the bad times in your career worth it, when you get reactions like that and you know you're making a difference in people's lives.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to, you know, have that reaction from people where they say, you know, someone said this song saved them, and I was like, you know, I'm tearing up thinking, like, it's crazy that it impacted somebody in that way. So
definitely. I'm glad you mentioned an upcoming song, because recently you've been working with established songwriters and producers in Nashville. You know, you've worked with Phil Mosley, Brandon Hart, David Ray Stevens.
Yes.
What do you learn when you're working with legends like that?
Man, it's crazy. David is, he's amazing at what he does. All of them are really just great at what they do. And so it's cool to, you know, sit in the room with them and experience how they do it, because it's a completely different experience than sitting in my bed writing a song. You know, it's you're collaborating with everybody, has an instrument, and they're all, like, you know, doing their own thing, and we're putting our ideas together and just trying to come up with a story. And they all have different techniques, so you pick up on what they do and how they come up with lyrics. And it was really cool. It was really, really cool experience. And I'm so thankful. I hope I get to do it again. I'm sure I will. It was really a cool experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you know, the first day walking in there, did you feel like you belonged, or was it kind of intimidating?
It was a tad intimidating, because I felt like, I mean, you know, these guys are great at what they do. And I was like, you know, I hope I live up to what my manager's been saying I am, because, you know, these guys are great. And so I was like, I hope I'm able to impress them, or at least live up to the standards, you know?
Yeah, I get you. You've got other new music coming as well this year. What can we expect?
Yeah, all of the ones that we wrote in Nashville are released and out. So that was No Thanks to You, Some Are Love, and Haunt My Dreams. Those are all out and released.
Right.
So those would have been from, you know, me, David, Phil, and Brandon. Those are really cool, because it's just a different recording process too. I recorded two of them there in Nashville with the players there, and they all go in together and are in different parts of the room recording. It took them probably two tries and they nailed it. And I was like, it's astonished. And it was just like, it's such a different, you know, process than what we do at my studio in Clearwater, Florida. It's just it's a different experience. It's cool. It's you know, a lot of what I did in Nashville was just a cool experience.
I could imagine. I could imagine. You know, when you complete a track in the studio, you know, and it's released, it's out there for people to hear. How do you look back on it in your mind? Is it kind of like, right, this chapter is closed, it's out there, or do you ever kind of think back on it?
I think back on my music a lot. I like to, you know, look at my own progress. Last night I was listening to my first single that I ever released and comparing it, not in a bad way, but in a reminiscent way. Kind of like, you know, look how far I've come since Craving Me, my first single, to the ones that I finished recording last night. And it's just it's a cool thing to, you know, think back on and just recognize your own growth.
Mm. Definitely, definitely. I'd love to jump back to 2018 when you moved to Tampa. You began working on evolving your own style and sound. Can you walk us through that period in your life, what it was like?
Yeah, I was new to really a lot of stuff. I was just getting older, you know, growing, I still am. And I found myself learning guitar in 2020. I picked up the guitar because I was bored during COVID. And so I picked up the guitar that I had. It was like a $20 Amazon guitar. And I just started playing. I started teaching myself. And shortly thereafter, I did a talent show with my family and our friends. And it was just like this little fun thing that we were doing. I was like, what else am I going to do? So I'm thinking, and I grabbed this little karaoke machine we had, grabbed a microphone, and I started singing You Are the Reason by Calum Scott. And everyone there was like, oh, you can sing, right? And I was like, I guess, I don't know. And so I started, like, you know, doing covers of things online. I did Instagram and TikTok, and my dad and my mom were super supportive. You know, they were help me put myself out there. And I grew it enough to the point where I was like, you know what? I'm going to release this song that I wrote. It was like probably one of the first songs I ever wrote and recorded. And it was, it's a lot different than it is. My music is now. It's called Craving Me. And it's so cool to look back on that one, though. It's more like pop, you know. It was me learning the ropes. It was me getting to know my producer, Spencer Bradham. Learning, you know, how music really works and how you engineer it and how you create the sound. And so from there, I kind of wrote some more and established myself in like a country genre, kind of like country pop, similar to a Morgan Wallen. And I just kind of, you know, messed around in there a little bit. I wrote some songs, recorded them, and just switched around a little. It kind of jumped a little bit back and forth between like country and pop. You know, it was like very different styles. So I was kind of like finding my way in there. But eventually, when I did the Nashville stuff, it was pretty far country. And in between a 5-month period where I recorded No Thanks to You and my upcoming song, Think About Me, I wrote so many songs, like so many songs that all, like a lot of songs, and each song pulled me in like a more, you know, story-driven, almost folk-ish feeling, you know? And so I've kind of sat in that over the 5 months, and I was like, this feels like where I'm at. It feels like the most me any of my music really has. It feels, said that weird, but it feels like it really is me, you know? And so, yeah, I've stuck to that for these next 4 songs. It's a new chapter. I have my next song, Think About Me, releasing May 24th. It's a new chapter, you know? It's more singer-songwriter than my past 9 have been. Right. So, yeah, I think right now it's where I'm at. I feel like I've found who I am in it, you know? So, yeah, I think that's where I'll stick for a little bit.
Glad to hear it. That's very exciting. There's something that I'm intrigued by. You know, you're a young guy and you're getting this kind of this success with your music. How has the music impacted your day-to-day life? Or has it?
I mean, yeah, I work hard to not let it completely take over my life. You know, it is a big part of my life. I write every day. I sit on my guitar for, you know, at least a few hours a day. And I do a lot of things in music. However, other than like that, it doesn't really affect me. I mean, I'm busy because of it, but it's not too bad. I've maintained a very, you know, good sense of living my childhood, I guess you could say, and like high school years, living them out as normal, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that at such a young age, how do you approach your career? You know, you must in your head have a roadmap of where you'd like it to go.
Yeah. I mean, I want to keep doing this for as long as I can. It is my dream. And I love music. I love making it. I love writing it. I love listening to it. And so I hope to, you know, go on the road someday. The dream is to, you know, tour and just keep doing this for as long as I can.
I like it. I'm sure you're going to be well able anyway. Now, the podcast is called Concerts That Made Us. So I have to ask you some concert related questions. As a concert goer, what concerts would you say have made you?
I get the title now. I like the name of the podcast. I like that. It's great. The first concert I ever went to was a Chris Jansen concert. He's a country artist. It was the first concert I ever went to. It was this venue in my home state, New Hampshire. And he was just bouncing around on stage. There's, you know, 1,500 people in there, maybe 2,000. And everyone's jumping around with him and he's running around on stage. And that like opened my mind to like, wow, that's cool. Like, this is a really cool experience. And then, that was my first concert that I ever went to. And it was really a cool eye-opening like moment where it's like, I want to be like that. I want to do that. What else? I've been to a Morgan Wallen concert. Right. And he's really good at making it feel like it's, you know, you and him in a room when it's like, you know, you and 25,000 people, but it's a really cool, like I think that's pretty important, is making it feel intimate in the best way possible, especially in like the genre that I choose. And I recently went to a Noah Kahan concert. He's someone who's blowing up, and just the impact that he leaves on the people, on the crowd. His music relates to people everywhere, you know? And I think some, my songs could achieve that and like relate to people. And so, you know, he's just a kid from, you know, my home state. He went to school 30 minutes from where I went to school. And so it's like a very, you know, it's a very cool thing to see. He's just from the same state that I'm from. He's the kid from down the road living out his dream. And so it's like cool it's inspiring, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It shows you that it can be done.
Yeah. It shows you what's possible.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, for any listeners that haven't been lucky enough to see you live, what can they expect from one of your shows?
I talk to people a lot. I like to, you know, talk in between songs. So just, you know, talk about the songs that I've written. The first show I did a few covers because I didn't have enough songs to do my own set. But it was cool to be able to take some of the first song that I did, like Craving Me, and kind of switch it around to be more like where I'm at now, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of fun. They can expect a lot of fun and jumping, I guess, you know?
Sounds like a good time. You know, you mentioned talking. Is there any memorable interactions that you've had with the audience that maybe stick in your mind?
Yeah, they made signs, which was kind of a weird thing. Like, they all had signs written out on their phone, which is kind of fun to see. Like, that was for me. It's surreal. And so, like, I would say some of those were cool. Someone asked me to marry them, and I was like, they saw me after. They were like, "What do you think?" And I'm like, "No, I'm still young. You know, I'm still not there yet."
You're keeping your options open.
Yeah, of course, of course. You have to now. But yeah, stuff like that. Just like being able to see them sing my music too was weird, because I did a cover song by Zach Bryan, which was like the biggest song of the year, right? And everyone knew it. But then right after that, I did my song, and people were screaming it, and I was like, "What?" that's such a weird feeling, is to see people screaming the song that you wrote back at you. It's like it's just surreal, you know?
Crazy. And out of the shows you've played, then, is there one that sticks in your mind as your favorite or a highlight?
The first one I did was just it was you know, you go out on stage and it's like they're here to see me, you know? It's, they're all here, they're here to watch me on stage. And so that's like a surreal, like, you know, I got out and I went to sing the first song, and I could barely sing the first verse because I was like, "What?" I was like, I had like this big smile, like deer in headlights look on my face. I was like, "What do I do?" But I found my foot. I was able to find my footing, and I was able to, you know, perform. But it's just like that first one, man, it was just like, it's weird. It was weird to be out there on stage in front of these people doing what I love live for them, and then having them interact it back, you know?
Yeah. I normally switch that question around now and ask, is there one that's maybe the worst gig experience you've had, and how did you overcome it?
I haven't had one, really. It's been really great, you know, so far. It's just been a lot of fun. And I feel like it's what you make it to. So, you know, go into a mindset.
Well, hopefully it doesn't happen and it keeps smooth sailing.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. What's your, when it comes to showtime, how do you psych yourself up? What's your pre-show? And then afterwards, what's your post-show? How do you wind down?
Well, the biggest mistake I ever made was I didn't eat the whole day, and because I was like kind of nervous, and so I had like 6 potato chips and a coffee and a lot of tea, and so I was like, I wouldn't recommend that, frankly. that's tough to run on, is a couple potato chips. But I talk with my team and my band, and we get psyched for it, you know. We're just hyping each other up, kind of run through in our head like what we're gonna do, how it's gonna look. I'm a man of faith. And so I pray before, ask for some confidence. And, I remember that, you know, God did give me this gift. So I have to remember to do everything that I do for him. So that's what I'd say I do before it. And after, I eat, because you drain a lot of calories. And I have to also remember that, you know, that's such a high moment, is being on stage, that coming back down to earth is tough. And so remembering to stay level and positive in those moments, because like it's easy to drop, you know, and just drop off in energy and drop off in emotions. But I feel like I've gotten that nailed.
Mm. You kind of touched on something interesting there. You know, sometimes I ask, you play a massive gig, say on a Saturday night, you wake up Sunday morning, you're back to reality. How do you kind of stay positive and deal with those emotions?
It's tough. It's a lot of, you know, keeping in a mindset and remembering that, like, that is a tough thing to do. But, you know, keeping people around you who know that it's tough, and just having them, you know, being supportive of you and helping you through that is what I would recommend. Cause like that's great. It's just having people who get it and having people who genuinely love you and will help you, off the ground, you know?
Yeah. Some great advice there. Now, before we dive into the last couple of questions, future plans that are set in stone, gigs, music, is there anything you can share with us?
Nothing set in stone. I'm hoping to do, you know, in the next year or so, a smaller tour-ish, you know, like in my home region, it's New England. I'd like to do just, you know, the five states, just a couple gigs around there. And yeah, I would say just nothing set in stone, but stuff we're working on for sure.
I like it. Right. Well, we'll dive into the last couple of questions. These are a couple of random fun music questions, but I'm intrigued to see your answers. First off, I feel like I have to ask you, is there any advice you could give to other people your age who maybe want to take the leap into music?
I'd say the biggest risk that you can make, the biggest mistake that you can make is not taking the risk. I say that to people a lot because I believe it. It's like, if you don't go for it, if you don't go all in, I mean, you won't make it. You won't. You have to care. You have to have a heart for it. And you have to be passionate about it. You have to put those 10,000 hours in, because that's true. I would just say have a heart for it and surround yourself with people who, again, pick you up and are there for you no matter what. My family is a great example of that, because I have an extremely supportive family. My brother is my biggest fan. And my dad is extremely supportive, and my mom too. It's great. You know, you have to surround yourself with people like that who just constantly support you and are always there for you.
Definitely. You couldn't get it done without them. Mm. The next one, what are you currently obsessed with? Now, it can be anything at all.
Oh, I collect vinyls now. So like vinyl records. I love that stuff. And I'm big into like comic books too, it's like one of my favorite things outside of writing is like collecting things like that, records and comic books. It's great.
I like it. What's your most prized vinyl, your prized possession when it comes to vinyl?
That's a hard question. I have to think of where we are. All right. I can't think of it. I have a lot of older records from my grandparents, and mostly newer records, but I have some really cool older records. I have a signed John Party.
Oh man.
Record and a signed Olivia Rodrigo one. So those are really like really, really cool ones to have.
Yeah, definitely. Here's a bit of a weird one now. If you had to spend 24 hours locked in a room with any musician from history, who would it be?
History.
Mm.
Wow. Okay. That's I'm going to go modern with it. I'm going to say Post Malone, because I feel like his creative process would be so unique to watch. Like he would be like my dream collaborator, even if it's just writing with him. I feel like he would just be so fun to hang around, just a cool vibe overall. And from what I've seen and heard, he's a wonderful guy. So I think it'd be cool to hang out, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That actually would be pretty epic. I'd love to see what the two of you could come up with. Interesting.
It'd be exciting.
Yeah, definitely. And the final one, so what's your go-to album? What's an album you constantly go back to?
I'm currently obsessed with Noah Kahan, like it is nobody's business. And so I cannot stay away from his newer album, Stick Season. It's like every day on the way to school for like the past 6-7 months. You know, even outside of school, anywhere we go, it's me and my brother throwing Noah Kahan. So I'm always into that, you know?
I like it. Listen, Malachi, it's been an absolute blast now. I hope we get to do this again in the future some stage.
100%. It's been awesome. Thank you so much.
Shadow. never comes around when I'm lying in my bed. It's silent, but your memory's loud. For such a long time, you've been out of sight, but it still feels like it was last night. What am I to do when I spend every single night dreaming of you? But I don't mind it. Don't wake me up, 'cause I don't mind it. It's kinda nice looking at your eyes, and I'm missing you, wishing it was for real. Some wounds take too much time to heal. Thought you were gone, but I'm not alone in this nightmare I've been living. When the stone cold truth comes walking in, I'll wait. I'm sure I'll see you tonight, but I don't mind it. It's kinda nice looking in your eyes, and I'm missing you, wishing it was for real. Some wounds take too much time to heal. Thought you were gone.
Hey guys, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify. And if you're interested in signing up to Band Builder Academy, use the link in the show notes below and enter the code CONCERTS and you'll receive 10% off. So, until next time, keep rocking!
Hey! Hey, what are you guys still doing here? The show's over. It's over. You can go home. Go on. We'll see you next time. We'll be here. Bye.